Hello, and welcome to a ThinkWork special series, as your hosts Darren Smithson and Steve Lowe take us to the realm of unexplained mysteries.
Welcome to another edition of ThinkWorks, and this week it's one of our unexplained mysteries, which means that I have in the studio the professor himself, Mr. Stephen Lowe. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Darren. Hello, everyone.
What listeners don't know is we've had a battle and a half to get this episode recorded. I think it's about the sixth attempt of us actually trying to sit down and record it anyway, and we had to keep postponing it.
I've actually got the original notes going back to last August.
It's just mad, isn't it? And then today we tested all the sound system before we went out on an errand. Everything was fine. We came back. We spent the last 2 hours literally trying to get the sound to work again.
So I hope you enjoy this one.
Yeah, because we're both stressed and we're actually thinking about opening the wine early. Anyway,
but we won't, because we're professionals.
Yes, we are. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about pyramids.
And I think we need to just this is a summary of pyramids as a podcast, because I've done some research on this and we could talk for hours and hours and hours on this, but we're going to make it as concise as we can and we'll make it interesting for you.
And I think this is actually, I mean, there's a couple of spin-off topics which I think we'll return to, and we'll mention them briefly when we get to them. But my mind was just something I tripped over last night when I was just doing some last minute notes, and I thought, what, eh? And it just, I sent you the message and you just sent, we can't say it on air, but you said, what the?
Exactly. Yeah. But that needs an entire new subject altogether. It is quite mind boggling as well when you look into it, but we'll explain later.
Yeah. So first of all, the pyramids. Now, everyone, when you say pyramids, they always think of the Egyptian pyramids, and quite rightly so, to be fair, because they are probably the most
iconic as well, I would think so.
Yeah, and so that's what's in everyone's psyche. But the mystery of pyramids goes way beyond Egypt.
But I think it's fair to say that they are quite, without doubt, probably the greatest global phenomenon that's ever occurred on this planet.
Yeah,
and even to this day, 6,000 years on that the first one was built, people, archaeologists, scientists, are still trying to fathom out, A, how were they built, and B, what were they originally for?
Yes.
So hopefully we can try and explain a bit of that later.
Right, so where do we begin then?
Well, for me as well, you've got to think, pyramids are not just like we just said in Egypt. They're found all over the world. You've got different types of one in jungles. There's even potentially one under the ocean. So these things are everywhere. So we need to be clear and open-minded when we're discussing pyramids. We're not just talking about Egyptian ones.
No, we're not. So let's really then start at the beginning and discuss some of the major pyramid constructions that are around.
I think all those as well is to understand that not just where they are, but the fact that most of them, they're like the unified form in terms of how they're built and how the structures are. Whether you look at the ones in Southeast Asia, whether you look at in the Americas, they're all very similar. Slight different designs, but they're very similar in terms of the structure. And I think it's also understanding that they're one of the most sturdiest constructions or buildings that's ever been made. I mean, they were probably the skyscrapers of the time.
Yeah.
But they've survived earthquakes, storms, flooding, everything. And they're still here. War. And they're still here thousands of years on. So a very, very sturdy structure.
Yeah. So let's do a run through then of the main structures that have fascinated us, me and you, for this episode. So let's start with the Egyptian ones then, because everyone knows them, and let's just explain a little bit about them and the context, and, I mean, when were they built?
Well, I think it's been an evolution. I mean, The ones we see today, especially the ones that are in Giza outside of Cairo, they're probably the most iconic ones, so the Great Pyramid of Giza. But they're being built from about, I think it was 4,000 BC, the first one was built, and they didn't quite get it right.
Yeah.
So they've evolved over time.
Until as you say, they got the structure that they wanted. And what's interesting about them is even with modern construction techniques that we have today, the precise nature of how those structures were built and how they hold together is almost impossible to reconstruct on that scale. So building them was a feat in its own right, but the reasons why they built them as well varied according to different historical texts that have been found. But I think most people think it's for mummies.
Well, the one in Egypt, yeah, but some of them, unless grave robbers got there a long, long time ago, some of them didn't have any crypts. Some of them didn't have any remains, any mummies there at all. And that begs the question, what were they built for if it wasn't for a pharaoh or the family and stuff like that? And we're going to touch on this later, but was it to do with more scientific or maybe more cosmic things the Egyptians and others were trying to actually understand?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess everyone does understand. I mean, when you say pyramids to most people, they instantly think of the pharaohs and their tombs and, you know, being buried with all their slaves and all their riches, their wives even, could suddenly find themselves...
Well, hopefully they were already dead, the wives, when they were put in there.
But they literally, when the theory was, they had to be packed with everything that they would need in the afterlife. So the slaves had to go, because the slaves were then going to be ported to this miraculous underworld where the pharaohs would also be reigning with all their riches. So they needed their slaves to take them there, obviously.
Because that said, they did believe it was a journey into the afterlife. That's what their belief was. Can I just touch on, I mean, the Great Pyramid of Giza?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's the most recognisable one probably in the world. I mean, when you think about that, it's built 4,000 years ago. A pharaoh called Khufu, I believe is his name, yeah. And when you think about this, this is actually 146 metres high.
Yeah.
It's got more than 2 million stone blocks in it, right? And at the time, it was has been the tallest building for nearly 4,000 years.
Yeah.
And it was only after the start of the 19th and 20th century that we started building these skyscrapers bigger. So the sheer scale of it is actually mind-blowing. And to have done it 4,000 years ago, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and I guess, again, it comes back to the common picture that everyone thinks of when you talk about how the pyramids were built. It's, you know, on the backs of millions of slaves and overseers and everything else, but it turns out actually not many of them did involve slaves.
They didn't. I mean, what they actually discovered near some of these pyramids is actually remains of small townships,
yeah,
with skilled labourers, and they found, like, they weren't starved to death. They found things that were to cook in and clean in. So these were skilled labourers. I mean, you've got to think the sheer scale of it. I mean, the labour force needed to do that.
Yeah.
The organisational skills, you know, to get these people to work in certain parts, certain ways. It's just phenomenal to have done that so long ago.
And to get the stone to where it needed to be.
Exactly.
I think the whole... And you can understand, I think, if the moment you stop and think, how did they build that back then? That's when everyone... The romance of the pyramid suddenly comes into it, doesn't it? This whole idea of just the power and the means to do that.
But even organising something like that, I've worked on project management for 25, 30 years, and putting a team together to build something, right? You've got a lot of planning. Doing it on this scale, without the tools that we have today, it is just mind-boggling. It really is.
So what do we think the Egyptian pyramids were used for? Obviously, some were used for tombs.
But we're also... I'm going to keep going back to the Great Pyramid of Giza, because that does fascinate me. Was it a divine figure to the pharaoh, to the Egyptians? But when you think about it, and we've got to think about how perfectly these were actually built, and the fact it points perfectly due north.
Yeah.
And the fact that some of them align with certain star systems.
Yeah.
It starts thinking, well, was it more than just a tomb? Yeah. Was it the Egyptians learning how to plot the stars?
Yeah.
And the seasons and things like that.
And also the advanced mathematics needed to construct the pyramids in terms of the polyhedron shape, which was, I mean, we didn't have that in until the Middle Ages with Pythagoras. I mean, it's just, how on earth did this advanced form of mathematics come into being and then get lost?
That comes back to when I talk about the evolution of the pyramids.
Yeah.
It's the first ones that built had flat tops.
Yeah.
And now we've got the nice peak of the apex.
Yeah.
But the Great Pyramid of Giza, it's the only, and believe it or not, you can't see this actually when you physically look at it from the ground, but it's actually got eight sides.
Yeah.
It's an eight-sided pyramid. Every one is four. It's slightly concave, and you can only actually see it from the air.
Right.
You take a photograph from the air, and you can see there's eight
sides. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's one of the things. I really didn't know that. So that's good.
It is. And when you think, when you look at when they've measured it, the scientists measured it now using lasers and all that kind of stuff, the accuracy of where these points meet, these other four points, is actually, you need very advanced mathematics and very clever algorithms to work it out.
It's just.
And they surely didn't have those kind of things then. So how did they do it?
Yeah. And so it's almost as if they invented the mathematics as they went along to make sure that that's how they built it. But why did they feel they needed to build it with that kind of precision? Why that shape?
Well, this is why I think it's a phenomenon, and this is what's even more fascinating for me, is that when you do look at it from the air and you can see these eight sides, funny enough, right, they're only detectable at dawn and at dusk, and they align with the autumn and spring equinoxes.
Wow.
Now, that to me, when I'm reading all this, I'm thinking, how have they done that?
Yeah,
I know, how have they done that? And then what it does, then the sun will cast a shadow on the pyramid at those times. That is so cool.
It is. It's, and you have to. I mean, I keep coming back. This is what keeps frying my brain about it. When I think, you know, it was the Middle Ages, and after you know, after the Dark Ages, and we had the period of Enlightenment when all these advances that the Western world suddenly made, and we're talking 3,500 years after these pyramids were built to these kind of precise measurements. And, you know, they had to take into account load-bearing, they had to take into account balancing and counterbalancing, they had to take into pressure points. How on earth?
It is unbelievable. I've got another, if you don't mind, another fascinating thing about the Great Pyramid of Giza as well is that there's a Spanish researcher and a scientist called Miguel Perez Sanchez, right? And he's spent a lot of time looking at the Pyramid of Giza. And if at the top of it, there's like something that was planted there, and you can see there's some remains of the top of the apex. And it's like a sphere, and it's symbolized the Eye of Horus.
Yeah.
Which is the Egyptian symbol of health and prosperity and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is all, by the way, on the back of a US $1 bill,
I
believe, What's mysterious about it is that he's worked out that the diameter of the sphere was 2.7 metres, okay?
Yeah.
Which, ironically, right, is what the number E stands for. Now, you say, what's the number E? It's a constant, basically.
Yeah.
And it's known as Euler's number, after the Swiss mathematician, But the thing is, the number E was only published and known about in 1612. So how the heck did the Egyptians know that the E was 2.7 metres and the Eye of Horus was that size? It's just mind-blown.
And the other thing about the Great Pyramid as well is that it actually had heat dissipation technology built in as well, which is, it's like, how on earth were they able to construct something so big and build in heat dissipation?
Not just about this number E, that's the foundation of a lot of algorithms, but it's also the basics for calculus.
Yeah.
Now, I've done calculus to a higher level, and it is very, very complicated. So to be able to understand calculus, 4,000 years ago, those were very clever Egyptians.
Yeah.
Or it was something else.
Well, I think when we've discussed the main pyramid tropes that we've got, I think that's when we'll come back to theories of why and how they were built. Because that is a generic thing across all of them.
It is, yes.
So Is there anything else we want to talk about the Egyptian pyramids?
Only about that. One of the things I'd just like to add is that there has been done some 3D imaging underneath the pyramid of Giza using radars and using lasers. And what they've found is 8 cylindrical formations that extend 648 metres beneath the surface. So that is a lot deeper than the pyramid is high. There's interconnected tunnels stretching up to 2 kilometres long. And there are 5 identical chambers, right? But they haven't got access to these yet, okay? Yeah. But it's the exact same structure and size as the king's, or the pharaoh's tomb when he was put to rest. There's a lot more archaeological investigation to be done. It'll be fascinating what actually gets discovered in the next 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about 200 years of research already done on them, and we're still finding new things.
And there's still people disagreeing, and you know, I don't think there's no clear facts because everybody's got their own opinions and their own ideas of how they were made and that, you know, what they were made for. But there's so many theories about it. It's going to fascinate. I think it's fascinating to be humankind for forever.
Yeah, I think so. So that's the Egyptian ones. And again, I think we need to repeat, that's a summary of the Egyptian pyramids. We could, as you say, we could have spent hours just talking about them. But let's move on to some of the other constructs around the world. So what you got next?
Well, aligned to Egypt, because it's the next country, you've got what's called Nubian pyramids.
Yeah.
So they still reflect like kingship and afterlife and things like that. But there are much narrower bases.
Yeah.
Than the Egyptian ones. They've got sharper angles, and they are unique to the Kushite civilization who lived there at the time. What I did find interesting, though, I mean, they're made out of reddish sandstone. So the Kushite kingdom, where these Nubian pyramids are, is now what is part of Sudan.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, there are more pyramids in Sudan than there are in Egypt.
So, again, the common thinking with the Nubian pyramids is that they were built to honour royalty.
Correct, yeah.
They're their tombs, or they're a monument to their rule, but that's what they were primarily
Yes, and most of them were built a lot later than the Egyptian ones. Yeah. So we're talking about the Egyptian ones going back to 4,000 years. And were still being built up to after Christ, obviously. But the Nubian ones were like started about 300 BC, and they were built right into the 3rd century as well.
Yeah, wow. So it was... the whole idea of why that shape. I mean, you could say, well, they've seen them in Egypt, and therefore they, and that was a monument to their pharaohs, so we need something that is similar for our rulers. And okay, so you can understand that. But again, the even at 300 BC and 350 AC, just the you know, the fact that you've got this whole way of constructing buildings.
The engineering feats are just amazing.
Yeah. So Egypt and Nubian pyramids, I think, share a common goal. What about the Mayan and Inca pyramids?
So the ones in the South America and Mexico, Now, this is where I then now find this kind of subject really fascinating.
Yeah. Right?
Because far from Egypt, far from the Kushite Empire, okay, the Incas and the Aztecs, the Mayan people, building pyramids without any known contact with the Egyptian civilization. Yeah. They're thousands of miles apart. You know, they couldn't travel that far in them days. So why is it they've then constructed pyramids very similar to the ones that are in Egypt?
Yeah. And in the middle of a jungle.
Yeah, in the middle of a jungle, absolutely.
So, again...
But the difference is as well, although not all Egyptian pyramids were made tombs, the South American like the pyramids, they were made as altars. Yeah. They were temples.
Yeah, and they were more about religious ceremonies and sacrifices, including human sacrifices, than honouring... They weren't really the kind of burial for their ruler. They were more about the religious practices.
And obviously, there's all the steps. In it. So the South American pyramids were actually flat.
Yeah.
So obviously the king... And they had steps going up to it, so the king could be there and it could address his subjects. It's where they could do... sacrifices that the entire tribes could actually watch.
Right, brilliant. So there is a difference then in design, and also the Mayans, more so than even the Egyptians, had a secondary use for their pyramid constructs as well, nope. Which was cosmologically based.
Well, I was going to say that earlier. I mean, it's basically stargazing.
Yeah.
That's what they were looking at. And it allowed then, obviously, the rulers to get closer to heaven, the divine life, whatever they want to call it.
Isn't it funny that rulers around, no matter what era, they all kind of, even kings in the Western world, had this by divine authority. They were appointed by God. And so the pharaohs in Egypt, the rulers in the Mayan and Inca civilizations, they also were there because they had that divine right.
Correct.
To be there. Yeah. It's fascinating, but how all these beliefs suddenly coalesced around rule.
It's amazing that, just like we have the Great Pyramid of Giza, there is a famous pyramid in South America, and it's called the Pyramid of the Sun.
Yeah.
And this one is bigger than all the others in South America, built about 200 years before Christ was born. The thing is, it's 65 metres high, but it's part of a much bigger city or town,
yeah,
where there were many other smaller pyramids.
Yeah.
And this town's covered 7 kilometres, right? There's not much left of it at all now, but you can still see where some of the actual buildings were. But you've got to think about the complex of that, done, 2,300 years ago, something like that. The actual, again, the urban planning, it's on such an immense scale, and the devotion to the religion and the afterlife is beyond anything we could comprehend.
Yeah. Now, I think we can't really move on from the Mayan pyramids until we actually discuss their advanced cosmological and astronomical skills and capabilities and knowledge. I mean, we all kind of like remember 2012 was the year the world was supposed to end and change based on some of the readings of the Mayan calendars. But some of the stuff that these guys were able to do, and the pyramids are instrumental in that because they point to the certain star constellations, they have clocks on them, sundials, which accurately measure seasons, even before, I mean, we were still sometimes planting seeds in winter because we didn't know.
We were still in caves.
Yeah.
We're square wheels,
if you believe the Carry On movies. But it's kind of like that. How did they were so advanced in so many ways, and that knowledge, it's tragic that it was lost, and then we had to rediscover it ourselves by doing the hard work centuries and centuries and centuries later. But how did they get that knowledge?
But just touching on that point, there's a pyramid at Chichen Itza called Kulkan, I think it is.
Yeah.
Now, it's actually striking when you look. You just look at pictures on the internet when you look at it. It's actually striking. And it's designed with absolute astronomical precision.
Yeah.
Because during the equinoxes, right, shadows on its staircase create an illusion of a serpent descending.
Wow.
And bearing in mind that serpents over in the Mayan and the Aztec culture was very, very important. Yeah. So how can you get a building to cast a shadow of a serpent? And then that serpent moves down those steps as the sun sets. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think we need to come back to that as well in terms of the architecture of the Mayan constructs being a measuring instrument for the cosmos, for the cycles of Venus in particular, because of the whole Venus cult, and that how they were able to actually get the cycle of Venus to within 2 hours. 2 hours.
It's
how?
I don't know. Long before Pythagoras came up with anything like this.
Copernicus with the telescope. How on earth were they able to actually plot with that kind of accuracy, and also then capture that on physical instruments that cast light and shadow on their constructs?
I've always said, Darren, that we've been here before. Because how do you comprehend those kind of things?
Yeah.
I think as well, though, with the Mayan pyramids as well, whereas in Egypt they built them once and they were sealed.
Yeah.
Right. What in the Mayan culture in particular, they build it and then they build on it and on it and on it, and it would grow and both in its height and around it over centuries.
And as well, the Mayan and Inca pyramids were about outside activities, whereas the Egyptian pyramids were really about hiding what was within the tombs and the riches and the wealth. So they had a completely different function, but the shape was very similar. The constructive methods seemed to have been similar. The mathematics for all of them was incredibly advanced and beyond anything that Western civilization had until well beyond the Middle Ages. I can't fries my brain just thinking about just how did they do that.
Before we move on from the South American pyramid, just one little fact which actually blew my mind. The Great Pyramid of Giza, which I mentioned, and the Sun Pyramid near Mexico City, have the same base size of 750 square feet.
Wow.
How? These cultures, these civilizations never met.
No.
And some of them were thousands of years apart as well. Yeah. It's I just can't get me there. No others are the same. It's just those two pyramids.
Yeah, and I think the whole thing that I keep coming back to is this whole idea of the mathematical abstraction and the cycles and ratios and prediction and load bearing, heat dissipation, heat reflection. All these things are built into these structures. And we have difficulty building a house today that will stand 50 years and actually is really heat effective.
Mm-hmm.
What? How? Why? I mean,
aliens. That's another subject.
We'll come back to that later in this episode. So we've got all this stuff that's going on, and I think one of the things that came out of the research that I was doing the other night, and this is I sent this to Steve, and this is when he sent that what the reply back. Is this whole Venus cult that the Mayans had and built into the cycles and the cosmos? Because the Mayans also, and it wasn't just shadow and light, it was also music and rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of tried to do, and successfully by the sounds of it, the kind of technology that they built was built on music and rhythm and light and shadow and the cult of Venus, which the Venus cycles would decide whether or not they went to war, whether they did human sacrifice, whether or not the seasons, it was time to start planting seed. So they knew all that and built it all into, and they've left the signs etched into the stone about how all this worked. And I just find the whole thing incredible. But one of the things that came out of it was this music and myth and the cosmos. And we looked at that and we just went, that is an episode. I mean, if you remember, we did our two episodes.
Universe, big guitar.
Yeah. So we did Music is the Magic of This Universe, and we did The Mathematics is the Language of This Universe. And here we have a civilization that had the two combined in a way that no other civilization did. So we will come back to that, I think.
Be fascinating, then.
Yeah.
I've not looked a lot into that one, but I'll look forward to doing
that. Yeah, so that'll be a good one. So we got the basics now done on the Mayans and on the Nubians and on the Egyptians. Are there any more?
I've got another two. One of them is there's some pyramids, the Clastus pyramids. They're in China, but the basically massive earthen pyramids.
Yeah.
Okay. So the pyramid in shape, but they're probably covered in vegetation and grass, but they're still classed as a pyramid.
Yeah.
And they are the biggest man-made mounds in the world. They are hundreds of feet high, these things. The most famous one was an emperor of China called Qin Shi Huang.
Yeah.
And he was very famous for, he created the Terracotta Army, which he said would protect him in his afterlife when he was buried in his mound.
There you go. So, it's all this taking it with you. You know, because, I mean, where did that phrase come from? You can't take it with you, because these people firmly believe that they could.
We might find out one day, don't we? You never know.
Well, you never know.
There's also, I mean, even the place in, like, Southeast Asia, in, like, Cambodia, you've got Angkor Wat.
Yeah.
That's classed, it's a temple, but it's classed as a pyramid. Yeah. And that had all carvings on the outside of it and that. And there's if you've ever seen it, I'm probably going to see it next month, hopefully, anyway. It tells a story as well of how they were developed, other people. It's people civilised. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
And what's the other one you want to mention?
The other one, now this is, there's a lot of scepticism about this, but allegedly, well, there is for the photographs, not allegedly, there is a pyramid under the sea.
Yes.
Okay. So it was back in 1987, some divers were diving off an island off Japan, and they came across this structure. And it was basically loads of carved steps in this rock, but it had archways and pillars in. I thought, what can this be? So they investigated a bit further, and the belief is that that area, 1,000 years ago, was not underwater, and it's been flooded, and whatever, it's rising seas or whatever. But when you think how long it's been there for, nobody knows, because they've not been able to carbon date it yet.
Yeah.
But they're still working on it. And there's still people saying, it's been made up. It's man-made, natural-made, sorry.
Yeah.
It's been natural-made, it's been a volcanic eruption under the sea. But when scientists looked at it, these steps, all of them, are exactly 50 metres long.
Yeah.
Not 51, 50 metres long, right? They're exactly 20 metres wide, right? And they're actually... cause a stepway up to this pillar, up to this archway,
yeah,
with pillars in the side of it. I don't think a volcano's going to be that precise.
No, it's like those photographs of some of the constructs on Mars, and everyone saying, oh yeah, it's just a face that's been etched over time by the winds of Mars. And it's like, but it's a face carved into stone. Yeah. And it's...
But although this has not been properly dated, you've got to think what history tells us is that these islands... right, where this structure was found, right, were inhabited 12,000 years ago by a Japanese people called the Yeomans.
Yeah.
If this is man-made, then this predates Egyptian pyramids by about another 6,000 years. So it opens up a complete new discussion.
And it comes back to this whole idea of a lost advanced civilization that used to be... I mean, this is where the whole Atlantis... story comes from, is that the Atlanteans were really a super advanced, almost godlike race of human beings that existed with technologies way in advance of anything even, you know, from today, and then cataclysm and they were wiped out. But
I can see a new podcast coming on Atlantis.
Yeah. Well, and this lost civilization, I mean, we know Japan, I mean, the whole of Japan is volcanic island. I mean, that's what Japan is. It's not one block of country. It's a lot of islands that form a chain that were all created by undersea earthquakes and volcanic eruptions.
Yeah. So this underwater pyramid, as we're going to call it, off the coast of Japan, has been likened to the Northern Ireland's Giant Causeway, which was formed by a volcanic eruption millions of years ago. And that could be possible. But as I've said, the fact that these steps underwater are all the same size, and there's precise... 90-degree angles on... Not 89 again. 90-degree angles.
Yeah.
How can a volcanic eruption do that?
Yeah, I think we will come back to lost civilizations as another episode of Unexplained Mysteries.
I mean, this is relatively new, this, isn't it? In terms of what they've found. It's going back for 40 years or so.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the truth is out there, as they would once say.
Yeah.
And I think it's just waiting to be discovered, and it's probably going to be at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah. So we've kind of covered the main groups of pyramids. We've touched upon some of their uses and how they were used by these different civilizations that built these pyramid structures in the first place. And we've kind of touched on some of the construction, amazing construction techniques and mathematical capabilities of these civilizations. But how were they constructed in terms of the materials that were used? How did they get the materials there? And these are still things that it's hotly debated and contested even today. The materials aren't, but how they got the materials there is. So how? I mean, do we have any theories? And we'll touch upon the outlandish ones in a moment. But in terms of practical workforce-type capabilities, what do we know and what don't we know?
Well, unless we go into the outlandish theories, I mean... You'd like to believe that there's not aliens, or you do believe them actually, that have come and built these and given some knowledge and off they've gone. I just think it's, seriously, I think we are sometimes doing a discredit to certainly ancient Egyptians, because we've already said they weren't slaves.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think this was tens of thousands of men and women, right, who were dedicated to their pharaoh, dedicated to their religion, and would spend years and years using skilled labourers, you know, stonemasons, architects, to actually build these things. And that's why it took tens of years to do them.
I mean, look at the Catalan Cathedral. I mean, that's not... They're saying that finally it might be finished in this next decade.
Oh, the Familia.
Yeah.
They've been building that forever. And I've been there, they're still doing it.
Yeah, and that, again, that only survived for the couple hundred years that they were building that when they first started it, because... the people who worked and lived around it gave their heart and soul and family generations into building it.
Correct. But you've got to think, you know, this Egyptians as a civilization, they've been around for thousands of years, yeah. right? So they've had thousands of years to actually learn the skills yeah. around astronomy, yeah. around mathematics, around architecture, even theology.
Yeah.
And study the stars. So they didn't just like happen overnight. Oh, no. We'll build a pyramid.
Yeah,
you know they've had 1,000 years of evolving their yeah. intelligence and their skills.
Yeah.
So to me, it says okay, we're looking at it now from a modern society where we've come from. Well, in the Western world, imagine if we'd had another 4,000, 5,000 years of evolution.
Yeah.
We'd probably be more advanced. So why can't they have been?
Oh, it's a societal evolution Correct. As well, yeah. where because they did have a civilization, and you know, and the ancient Greeks had their structures, and they advanced many, many mathematical and philosophical questions and constructs, which were lost in time because barbarians from the West actually tore these empires down. And I think you're right. I think sometimes we have to stop and study and think, if a civilization has survived for 2, 3, 4, 5,000 years, it's going to have put layers upon layers of knowledge.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. yeah. And then the barbarians at the gates, i.e. the West, we charge in, ransack the place, ignore all the laws and regulations that these civilizations have built up to protect themselves from internal exactly. strife, and then we wonder why all that knowledge was lost.
Prime example, the yeah. Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Okay.
What have the Romans ever done for us?
Apart from yeah. But the Romans came and conquered Britain, okay?
Yeah.
They had villas, they had sanitation, they had roads.
Aqueducts.
Aqueducts, right, okay? Because yeah. they developed those 4,000 years again in Italy. What happened when the Romans went?
Yeah.
The Britons went back to living in, actually, sheds and mud huts.
Yeah.
And it took us a bit of 1,000 years to get back to a point where we started living in, you know, ventilated castles and buildings. So it does happen, there's a cycle to it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that 4, 5, 6,000 yeah. years ago, they could have had that skill.
Okay. And we do know, I mean, for example, the Mayans and the Incas, they used bronze and iron and fashioned tools that could cut through the stone. So, again, centuries before the West, the so-called civilized West, was fashioning tools that were robust enough to cut through stone with minimal effort, shall we say. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still took effort, but I just find this whole... We have such a prejudice,
in the West. It's like, how can an ancient civilization do something like that?
Yeah, it's got to be aliens.
Better than we can do in the West.
Yeah.
And that's what I think he said. No, race is a strong word, but that's what we do them a disservice.
Yeah, I think it's a snobbery. It's an intellectual snobbery because, you know, I mean, yeah, we had Pike, you know, we had Copernicus and his astronomical skills and calculations, and we had some of the mathematical constructs that came out, and we had then, you know, serious thinkers like Newton come along and what have you. But these, in many areas, had already been discovered, and we subsequently found out, discovered and lost in these civilizations centuries before. 1,000 years before, and I'm not doing any disservice to these people, these thinkers like Copernicus and Newton. I don't want to do any of these people down, because they did discover these things for themselves by hard work and insight. But I think because of that, and because we had by then the printing press, and we had paper, and we had books, and we could get real kind of dissemination of information around quickly, I think we've kind of forgotten that all this knowledge, most of it, existed before.
Exactly. Yeah, we didn't invent... The West didn't invent everything.
No.
We like to think we do.
No. So before we pull all this together and we go into some of these outlandish theories, is there anything else you wanted to discuss?
Well, you've got to think about... We've talked about why were they built and where were they built and the similarities and the precision and all that engineering and mathematics stuff, but I think it still rings true today. I mean, they're still a massive symbol to the human race.
Yeah.
You've got to think, although they're built centuries ago, 1,000 years ago, the legacy continues to influence modern society. Look at the Louvre in Paris.
Yeah.
That's a pyramid shape,
yeah.
Okay? And then you've got to think of certain skyscrapers in major cities throughout the world. Yeah. They're pyramids. Even things like food groups are done as a pyramid.
Yeah.
Hierarchies in companies are done. So it influences everything we're doing. It's got it's imprinted on our brains. And I know there's lots of conspiracy theories. You're going to go on to those as well. Secret societies and the Illuminati and, dare we say, aliens and lost civilizations. We'll go on to that in a bit. But it endures, right?
Yeah.
It just endures. I mean, whether it's in Egypt, whether it's in Mesoamerica, whatever, they're still enduring and still impacting our thought processes.
And they're inspiring film, books. Alan Parsons Project, their third album was Pyramid, which was inspired by the pyramids, and that's got a classic line in it: how did you know how it would endure? How did you know what you built would last for thousands of years? And that entire album is just seeped in that kind of mysticism that we often feel when we think about the Egyptian pyramids. And I think its impact, even, as you say, even today, if people actually took their faces out of Facebook and sat back and went, how did they build a pyramid? What's it for? Your brain's going to start suddenly lighting up with all kinds of questions and ideas.
But empires rise and fall. Civilizations rise and fall. And you talk about, things enduring. Was this a legacy?
Yeah.
Were these pyramids a legacy that civilization want to leave? Of course, they're still here.
Yeah.
They're still standing. I mean, Pharaoh's no longer there.
Yeah.
The stone will endure.
Yeah, it's incredible. Right, let's touch upon some of these outlandish theories, because we have to mention, because almost every episode of Unexpected Mysteries that we've ever done always comes back to, there's a hardcore of people that say, I don't want to say it's aliens, but it's aliens. So what do we think? Is it aliens or not?
I don't think so. But then again, you have much more open-minded to the alien world.
Yeah, I don't believe within only life in the universe, for a start.
I would agree with that. Yeah. There's got to be something else.
And I do think there is a chance that we may well have been visited, but I think I'm with you. I think we're doing these civilizations a real disservice by saying they could only have built these constructs because they had help from aliens.
What you don't know as well, I mean, having said that, archaeology proves otherwise, they haven't found any of these kind of advanced tools, but how do you know that they didn't have tools that we don't even have today that have been lost?
Yeah.
We just don't know. Yeah. I'm not talking, though, they've got, like, digger trucks and stuff like that. No, but some of the tools they would have used, some of the actual mathematical equations that they came up with to build these, to align them to the suns and the stars, they may have had all that stuff. We're assuming they didn't because they're an ancient civilization.
Yeah. And I think that's where the snobbery comes in.
It does.
The romantic in me thinks, wouldn't it be amazing if aliens had visited these primitive people and said, right, okay, we can't give you technology, advanced technology, yet, because you're not capable of using it. But what we will do is we'll give you an idea to build things that will improve your capability, your construction skills, your mathematical abilities, and your understanding of scientific principles. Because whether we want to accept it or not, the scientific principles in designing and building those pyramids is immense.
It's immense. And if you think about it, those kind of things now were still used today.
Yeah.
Science is science.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so they discovered it way before we think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't changed. Yeah. Newton's laws are still the same.
Yeah, they are.
The maths is still the same.
Yeah, and they had these mathematical constructs, whether we want to accept it or not. That's the only way they could have built these pyramids. That isn't to say that aliens came and gave it to them. And I'm with you. I think we have to give credit where credit is due. It's the same with the lost civilizations theory that was put forward about it was Atlanteans who traveled the world from their Atlantean island, wherever it was in the Atlantic Ocean, and brought with them some of these advanced techniques and advanced thinking.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Part of me really, 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 really wants to believe in this whole idea of an advanced civilization that was the spawn of everything.
But until somebody can prove there was this, or somebody prove there is other life out there and they did visit Earth, you're always going to get people who said it must be aliens, because you can't disprove it.
No.
That's the issue, isn't
it? Yeah, and I think this is the issue. And, you know, and we... Look, I think the key thing is we're kind of half joking, and we're not mocking people for believing in aliens or in lost civilizations. What we're saying is we shouldn't also mock these civilizations themselves for actually creating these constructs.
Correct.
And I think that's the key thing. And in all things, it's always about asking the right kind of questions and coming up with your own summation. Once you've done that, if you ask the questions and go and get some research and you still believe it was aliens, then that's down to you.
But obviously, like, we've keep saying the pyramids throughout the world have been here for millennia, obviously. But in terms of the modern technologies we've had to investigate them, right, we've not had for a long time.
Yeah.
So give us another 1,000, 2,000 years of advanced technology, because you've got things coming like, you know, you've got ground-penetrating radar.
Yeah.
You've got laser and ranging finding systems. Yeah. And I think as those get developed, like advanced AI. Advanced AI. Imaging, things like that.
Yeah.
As they become more advanced, then we'll be able to understand a little bit more about the pyramid itself. Yeah, and it might actually answer quite a few questions. What I also think is interesting as well is that we've spent 50, 60, 70 years reaching for the sky, reaching for the stars, going to the planets, I think it's time to look a little bit further, closer to home, and start looking more to the Earth and underground and see what is actually there.
Yeah.
So I think this opens a complete new subject.
Yeah. I think you're right, and I think what we have to say is this episode on pyramids and constructs, unique constructs, I think is one part. I think this is part one.
Yeah.
I think we've got to come back to some of the other great constructs like Stonehenge and circles of stone and how they became embedded within Western thinking in particular, but also in islands in around Bermuda and Japan. Circles of stones are big things there as well. So that's another thing we can look
at. All these kind of like these ancient monuments and stuff, like the stuff on Easter Island, all that kind of, we could do that.
It's all there. And I definitely want to come back to this whole idea of music and myth and light and shadow and how the Mayans in particular applied this to their cosmological beliefs and their astronomical charting, which is incredibly accurate even by today's standards.
Agreed.
So that's another great episode for us to do. And one thing we haven't mentioned is pyramid power. It's just occurred to me, this whole idea that if you put a razor blade in under a pyramid shape, it never dulls.
I didn't know that.
Of course it won't, because you're not using it. It's underneath. That's. But there was all this thing that came out, wasn't there, in the 70s when, you know, von Däniken was doing his Chariots of the Gods, and on the back of that, other people coming up with these. Well, the pyramids are just, they focus power. And they were coming up with all these things, and there's a great, again, that Alan Parsons album, there's a great line by the, and the, what's he, the singer is on about his belief in aliens and pyramids and stuff, and he sings something like, the Mayan pyramids on my pyramid pajamas haven't helped me with my little problem.
He was a bit out there, wasn't he?
So it was all in there, and it's just absolutely superb, this the way that these constructs, thousands of years later, are still inspiring music, film, book, arguments, debates,
absolutely. And I think also helps us, people want to know why they're there, how were they built.
Yeah.
It actually helps us as well improve our technology, because we want to find out, well, why did this happen? Well, we need to build something different to try and find, you know, to find out what it is.
Yeah.
So it's impacting everything. Just to close my bit here, I think asking who and why the pyramids were built is like asking ourselves, who are we as a species?
Yeah.
It really just questions lots of things. And for me, they're not just mountains of stone. I actually think they're a monument to the human spirit.
Yeah.
And I think that we should not forget that when we say, well, who built it? Yeah. Is it aliens? I think man built it.
Yeah.
And I think they should get credit for it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Right, as always, there's a post will be in the forum, which is darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. There'll be a post for this episode. Come and give us your theories. We'd love to hear that, because we might use them when we do the follow-up episode. Yeah. So come and tell us what your theories about the pyramids are. And we, as you say, you kind of glossed over this whole Illuminati hijack of the pyramid shape and the eye of Osiris.
Horus, isn't it? Yeah. And, or the eye of Providence. I think,
yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Well, we did the whole Illuminati conspiracy theory stuff anyway. But
I mean, this has just been, it's our views, our ramblings. Some of it's based on facts. We've done some research. Yeah. But, you know, it's just we feel passionate about some of these subjects. Yeah. And that sometimes comes across in how we speak about these things.
All we really want is to get people to ask questions and engage in debate. And by debate, I don't mean argument.
No.
I don't mean making people wrong. I mean debate. It's debate. A skill that we have lost.
And think.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, Stephen. Enjoyed that.
Thanks, Darren. I hope everybody did. I hope the folks who listened to this enjoyed it as well.
Yeah. Bye-bye for now.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to this special ThinkWork series within a series. We'll be back soon with another episode of Unexplained Mysteries, and of course the normal ThinkWorks format. In the meantime, however, don't forget to drop in your views on this episode on the corresponding forum post. Simply go to darreninforum.com/ThinkWorks forum, find the post for this episode, and tell us your theories on this mystery, as well as what other mysteries you would like Darren and Steve to discuss. Until then, take care all, and we'll see you soon.